I remember the first time I posted something online. It was a video game guide in the 90s. And there's an internet adage that I think is true. It goes like this. The best way to get the right answer on the internet is not to ask a question, but to post the wrong answer. I posted a guide on how to beat a video game, and it immediately got downvoted, mocked, ridiculed, and I was told to get good. At first, I thought they were joking. Like, I've beaten this game 100 times with this strategy. What are you talking about? Get good. But then after some pushback, they started cluing me in, telling me exactly where my advice was wrong and giving me tips on how to properly do those parts of the game. I was blown away. What I thought was impossible to do in the game, people were actually doing. Now, dear listener, this experience shaped me for who I am today. If you post something genuinely helpful online and people mock you, that could be the end of you ever posting anything online again. It's enough to ruin your self-confidence and hate everyone online. But I had the opposite reaction. I loved this game and played it thousands of times. They were giving me tips and strategies on how to be way better than my best strategy that I had. And I genuinely wanted to be way better. Not only that, I got to make friends with other people who were really passionate about this game. It was an amazing experience. Fast forward to today. We're 150 episodes into this podcast. That's 134 hours of me yapping. I've got a lot of feedback over the years. Most of it is positive. But today, today I've got to correct something I got wrong. Really wrong.
These are true stories from the dark side of the internet. I'm Jack Reesider. This is Darknet Diaries.
Over the years, one episode I've published has haunted me. Episode 20, called Mob Man. Yeah, take a listen to this short clip of it.
I made this Sub 7. It's a remote access tool, and it was a Trojan horse virus.
He built a program that would allow him to take control of another computer.
You could open and close the CD-ROM. You could flip the screen. You could hide the start button. You could move the mouse on their screen and, you know, click around. You could open up their C drive, change their wallpaper.
This is an episode where I interviewed a guy named Greg, who went by the name Mob Man, who claimed to have made the Sub 7 malware back in the 90s. The episode haunts me because I have received numerous comments that listeners don't believe he's the guy who created Sub 7. For instance, there's a Reddit post where someone said, I just started listening to Mob Man this afternoon and couldn't finish it. I just don't believe this guy made Sub 7 or could have created a rat at all. It's not just his attitude or personality. It just seems as if he only has a cursory knowledge of any of the technology used. Multiple times throughout the interview, something he said just didn't quite make sense or didn't match up with what I remember from that time period. Then some other commenter said, I had the same impression too. And someone else said, he's fakey-wakey. And then someone else said, I remember the creator was Romanian, and that guy is not Romanian. I fact-checked my guests as best I can, but I do most of the research and writing for this show, and I can only check so much. Before publishing that episode, I spoke to some people who knew Greg personally from Tampa, where he's from, and they told me he's legit. On top of that, he was featured in a Rolling Stone magazine article saying he's the one who created Sub 7. I figured Rolling Stone would do some fact-checking themselves, right? And also, Greg offered to show me the source code for Sub 7, and he demonstrated how he has control over the Sub 7 domain name. So I'd just show this to people who didn't buy the story. But as I listened to people and read more theories about this, it started to make me think maybe they're right. Maybe I interviewed the wrong person. See, I interviewed a guy named Greg, who goes by Mob Man, and on every version of Sub 7, it was created by someone calling themselves Mob Man. So I'm starting to think, wait, if Greg didn't make Sub 7, then are there two Mob Men out there? If so, where's the second one? Somewhere around 2004, the Sub 7 creator, Mob Man, disappeared. And Greg just so happened to get arrested the same time too. And so he says that's why he disappeared. So did two Mob Men disappear at the same time? If there are two, then Greg is the only one who came back as Mob Man. The other Mob Man is still out there somewhere. Well, a guy named Ill Will took it upon himself to find the real Mob Man, and he spent years hunting through the internet looking for him, and eventually found a clue which led him to a potential email address used by the real Mob Man. He emailed him, and sure enough, he said, "Yeah, I'm the one who created Sub 7. You found me." And I got connected with this Mob Man to hear the story.
Hello, hello.
Hi. Very punctual. Right at 12 on the dot.
Yeah, why not? Now, you have the tag here, Mob Man, here in our call.
I do.
Is that your nickname?
Yes.
When did you start using that?
Oh, 1999, I want to say.
And what is the meaning of it?
It comes from a rap band, a Romanian rap band called BUG Mafia. It's a Bucharest Underground Mafia. That's their name. I'm a big fan of them. And when I was thinking of coming up with a new nickname, it just had a nice ring to it. Mob Man, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
It's a trip, you know, to get here because
yeah,
for the last 6 years, I've known Mob Man to be a different guy.
I'm aware.
And now I feel like I've met a new Mob Man. So so let's go back to the 90s. What was your early experience with just cybersecurity?
It wasn't really a hacking thing. It was more of a programming thing. I taught myself to program when I was very little. I did a whole bunch of little games. This was back when I was still in Romania. So in 97, moved to Canada with the whole family. And then I found out about Delphi. I wanted to start learning in Delphi. So I just happened to pick a rat to work on. Basically, yeah. That was it. That's how everything started.
And so the story goes, Sub 7 was born.
Yeah. Well, it all stemmed from NetBus, right? It preceded Sub 7. Like, it was one of the original Trojans. It was called NetBus. So I played around with that a little bit, and that's kind of what inspired me to create something similar. So I was
What did NetBus do?
It was the same thing, a remote access Trojan rat. It had a little UI and a server you would send somebody and then connect to them. So that's kind of what I was trying to emulate when I started. And then after I got a couple of features going, I packaged it up and uploaded it to a hacking site. That started picking up steam. I had my contact details on there. And people started sending me emails, contacting me. Oh, can you add this? Can you add this? Can you add this? So that's kind of how it grew from there. I was like, I wonder if I can do this in Delphi. So I would look into it, do some research, see if I can find it out. And if it was possible, I would just do it.
If you created this as like a coding challenge, did you ever feel bad when people used it for malicious purposes?
It was all fun at the beginning. And for the first many versions, it was all just fun. Having fun with people, you know, playing tricks on them, pranks and things like that. That was the whole motivation behind it and everything else. But then started, you know, hearing all these stories about people using it for malicious purposes. Always in the back of my mind was sort of like, well, there's many of these tools available. You know, they just happened to pick the one I made. They would have just picked a different one if it wasn't for Sub 7. So, I mean, it's part of why I left, I guess, in the end. I wanted to get into something else, some sort of different. Throughout the whole thing, I've always tagged as a hacker, you know, but it was just, I was just a programmer. I was trying to learn to program.
The thing is, as this tool began getting popular, it started to be used more and more in criminal activity, using it to take over someone's computer. You can see exactly what they're doing on it. Or you could steal their files or session cookies or wipe their computer and delete everything. The problem is, creators of malware have sometimes been arrested just for creating it, not even doing anything bad with it. Because those creators were knowingly creating tools or weapons for criminals to do crimes with. Sub 7's official reason for existence was to prank people. It was for jokes and stuff.
You know, some of the most popular features in it were the ones just for fun, like the Matrix one. You just turn your whole screen black and you type letters one by one. You know, it was basically a chat, but you couldn't get out of it. You couldn't do anything. You would just chat back and forth with whoever was on the other end.
But as it started being used for more malicious reasons, that's when Mobman decided to leave the scene and basically not look back. He went on to programming and leaving the name Mobman in the past too.
The very first time I heard about somebody impersonating my name and taking credit for all this stuff was stemmed from your podcast. I had a local friend, Sebastian, we call him Septa, that is a big fan of your podcast, and heard that you had an interview with Mobman. And obviously, he knew who that was, you know, and was looking forward to listening to it and he's like, what is this? Who is this guy? He sent me a message. He's like, yo, I listened to the podcast expecting you. And there's this other guy talking about some random stuff. I don't know what's going on. That's how I found out first. And then a couple of months later, Ill Will contacted me. He's the one that started the whole process. He sent me a little zip file with a couple of details about me. He had a picture of my car. And he was like, the password for the zip file is your full name. So if it's really you, then you should be able to open it. He's like, I'm 99% sure that it's you, that I've traced you there. And I replied, I said, well, you're right. You can be 100% sure now. And he was the one that kind of not convinced me, because I was a little bit indifferent, right? Like, this was a long time ago. I don't know if I really want to get back into any of that. But he made a good point. Like, a lot of people have made their start with this, you know, and it's not right to have somebody else take the credit. Like, history should be set straight.
So let's set the record straight. This is the real Mobman, the actual creator of Sub 7. But even though this real Mobman heard my interview with another Mobman, he still didn't want to contact me to fix it.
Because the whole thing was, I didn't want to publicly say who I was, you know, I didn't want to publicly admit all this stuff.
And why was that?
I don't know. I don't know. After a really, really long time, it didn't really make any sense to still stay hidden. But
yeah, I mean, it makes sense of what you were saying a minute ago, which was like, I was young when I did that. I'm done with that. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to revisit that.
Yeah.
Like, I could see there's a lot of reasons. What I was worried was like, oh yeah, some people did some awful things with that, and the FBI is looking for me.
I think people started getting in trouble for making tools like that at that point. Like you said, you know, like just for making them, not for actually using them. So that contributed to like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah. And did you get any heat from law enforcement?
No. No, I did not.
Because you had your email there and I could see somebody being like, all right, we got to put an end to this guy.
Yeah. No. I never got into any actual trouble or heard of anything. But I kept everything private, like everything. Nobody knew my name, even the people that were closest to me. Closest to me in the scene, like part of the crew and things like that. Nobody actually knew my name. They knew the city I was in. The very first version said the city I was in. It said from Windsor, Ontario.
Okay, this makes sense. This is a tool that, while, yeah, has started a lot of cybersecurity careers, has also caused a lot of damage. And with people like Marcus Hutchins being arrested like 3 years after creating some malware, it makes sense for the real Mobman to let someone else take credit, since it'll allow him to stay hidden in real life. He has a bunch of family and stuff and just wants it all behind him. But after looking through Ill Will's research and speaking with this Mobman for an hour, I'm convinced this is him. Wow. 6 years after posting the episode, we finally discover the truth. And now we can lay it all to rest. But there's still something that's bugging me. Why would Greg pose as Mobman all these years? We're going to take a quick break, but stay with us, because when we come back, I'm calling Greg. Okay, time to call Greg, a.k.a. Mobman. Hey, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hey, man. How have you been?
Pretty good. Just busy working and sleeping and doing kid stuff.
The story of Sub 7 has been researched more thoroughly since you have appeared on my podcast. And it just wasn't adding up for some people. And I was put in contact with the original author of Sub 7. a Romanian fella named Mob Man.
Okay.
So clearly at this point I'm believing that he's the one who created it, right? And so now I'm wondering, well, hold on, you're the one who said you created Sub 7. What's going on here?
Right. So you're introduced to him through, I'm assuming, Will and...
Yep, Will. Yeah.
So they all made a person. Did you check his ID or anything?
But yeah, he seemed to be able to produce some evidence, right?
So, I have a lot of that stuff too. Yeah. Just never asked. And I showed it to a couple other people that I know in my inner circles.
So are we talking about the same Sub 7 though? Because there's this conflicting story is just not gonna work for me. I've gotta have a source of truth here.
Neil Will's claims on his website we could go to, right? You put in Mob Man, it comes up in the Google searches. And there's all kinds of claims on that website. It's like it's reaching for straws, every little thing. And then after, 10 years, he finally gets enough straws to put together a whole fake persona or whatever he's doing for this other Mob Man person.
My God, Greg is doubling down. He's saying he's the real Mob Man. And this other guy is a made-up persona. Ah!
All right. And then what about the Gmail account and the domain name?
Okay, go ahead. Tell me.
Well, does this other person have access to it or run it?
To the Gmail account and domain name?
Yeah. That's hard coded into the source code.
And you're saying you do?
I do.
Okay.
And then you can see the registration dates on them and stuff, and how it aligns to all the times and never been kind of changed.
Yeah.
So maybe we get this other dude and me together.
All right. I'll see if I can. You'd be wanting to talk with him. We'll get Ill Will on the call too?
I'd rather not talk with Ill Will. I think, I quite honestly, I try not to even talk about the subset or even anything that I've done in the past. But, they got all these laws and computer laws and shit nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't want them to go retroactively and find some crap to get me even more in trouble. I'd like to meet the guy or whatever. And then we can see. We can get to the bottom of it.
All right. All right. I'll see what I can do. Thanks for this call. I'll keep in touch.
All right, bye.
Bye. We got two Mob Men here now. This is crazy. I need some answers, though. I went back to the other Mob Man. I was like, hey, can we do a call with both of you? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. So we did the call. And I'll just play for you the conversation, mostly unedited. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hello.
I hit record already because this is such an epic call. I've never had two people of the same name on my podcast at the same time.
There was nobody else named Jack?
I honestly, as I was chatting with both of you, I was getting confused on who's who.
When? Oh.
Just because you're both named Mob Man.
Oh. I know, it sucks because I'll be trying to play video games and I'll sign up and I'll put my name in there and then I'll see it's taken. And be like, who the hell made that?
So. Well, now and today you get to meet the person who made it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he plays games.
The one with the Romanian accent is the real one, just to set that up front.
So, do you play video games? Like Call of Duty or something?
Who are you asking? I'm not here to socialize, dude.
Okay, so yes.
Let's get into it.
What are we here for? We are here to discover... It's not so much the name, right? People reuse names. There's a lot of Jacks in the world. I'm not worried about my name being reused or probably Mob Man has been reused before. But the question at hand here is the creation of Sub 7 is being claimed by both of you. And the tricky part here is neither of you really want to claim it because it's like, hey, man, that's kind of a sensitive subject. I don't really want to put my face in front of that thing. Because it has been used for, you know, purposes that, you know, maybe you don't want to claim or whatever. And so it is a tricky subject to try to navigate. But here is the situation where I'm trying to, you know, explain what this tool is. And I'm getting confused on who actually made it.
Well, a few people made different versions of it.
No, they did not. Only one person made all the versions, dude.
Oh, yeah. There's...
Go into every single version that was released into the credits screen, and under programmer, there's only one name ever. There's also multiple Romanian quotes from BUG Mafia. It's quite obvious that the author is fucking Romanian.
So why?
Not some Greg guy from Florida, really?
Why was there only one programmer of this app?
Because it was just me doing everything. The whole source, I was in possession of it the whole time.
Why is that? I mean, like today,
a couple of months ago.
Today you have GitHub, and it wasn't the same back in the 90s. But with GitHub, people can contribute and help out. You didn't want other people to help out. You didn't want to share the source code. Why was that?
It's because it was a mess. I learned Delphi by working on Sub7. This is my very first project. It was spaghetti code. That was the main reason it wasn't shared. And every single version was dedicated to BUG Mafia. How do you explain that, Greg?
So I found these YouTube videos, and people made something called Sub7, SAT. And then
related to Sub7?
Reed 101 made something, and then John Ford, he made some too.
This was at the very end, after I left the scene. There was one version released by Reed 101. Yeah. That's what you're bringing up?
I don't know if
how
you
do you
can
explain
see the screen
BUG
or not.
Mafia in the credits? Can you answer the question? The band, the Romanian hip hop band that was mentioned in every single release. It's the band where the nickname Mobman comes from. How do you explain that?
Well, let me pull up the videos of when we used to listen to them.
Videos of what? In 1999, first version that does mention it, BUG Mafia didn't even have any songs online, man. I brought tapes with me from Romania. They were only on tape. You could not have heard of them on the internet in 1999 when this was put in the about credits.
Yeah, they were...
It just doesn't make sense, man. And like everything. You mentioned that you made it for some Ultima Online things, like to steal credits or something. What was the story, Jack? Because he mentioned it on your podcast.
Yeah, just to mess with his friends, it sounds like to me.
It was all an Ultima Online thing. Like you would find traces of it looking up Ultima Online EXE or INI or something. You could open it up because, like, the server opens up files and you can find those file names if you open the .exe in, like, a text editor. So you'd find, like, it had a method where it would modify win.ini to start up. So you could find that reference in the .exe there. None of the versions have any sort of reference to any Ultima Online things, files or .exes or program names or, like, the stuff that you came up with doesn't make any goddamn sense, man. I'm surprised that it lasted this long, honestly.
And
I'm surprised you were able to bullshit for this
and
long.
And the master passcode?
The master passcode has my birthday in it. That's another one. It has my birthday in it.
How do you,
are you
how
born
do you
in
know,
October 15, 1980?
How do we know that that's your birthday?
I'll send you a picture of my driver license.
I want to hold up my driver's license too, because it says the same thing.
I highly doubt that it says that. I doubt that you're born on October 15, 1980. Okay. You show me a picture.
I mean, you can just Google it. It's in my arrest record and everything too. But I can put the ID up on the...
Oh, is that what started the whole thing? The whole stealing the identity because the birthdays matched?
Well, then how would I know that that's your birthday?
Because it was mentioned. It's on the Sub7 wiki, man. It was a known fact.
Right. When the Wikipedia gets changed like every other month.
Okay.
And I'm mostly the one.
So on the official Sub7 website.
Go ahead.
There were multiple references to Romania and Craiova, the city where I'm from.
For October.
How do you explain those?
I was still on the birthday.
This isn't related to the birthday. I'm just going back to the Romanian thing. Like, there's multiple verses in Romanian in the about screens in a couple of the different versions.
When you hit the about and the help,
yeah. So how like what? It's obviously a Romanian that made it. Not some Greg guy from Florida. Again,
from the Canada.
And also, speaking of which. the first five or six versions, the first thing that the about credits said was from Windsor, Ontario. Were you ever in Windsor, Ontario?
Do you see these credits on the software?
Yeah, you can get any of the versions. Download any of the old versions. There's multiple. There's 12, 15.
Do you have them all?
Every single one, you can go to the about screen.
Yep.
And the first five or six say from Windsor, Ontario, dedicated to BUG Mafia. And some of them have quotes in Romanian.
Yeah, they all say that, yes, for the BUG.
Have you ever been to Windsor, Ontario?
No. I haven't been to Canada. They don't
then
let
how
me,
do you explain
they don't
that?
Let me go to Canada.
I know they don't, because you have a record. How do you explain that then in the credits? You can't, dude.
You can't. Let's see.
You can't come up with bullshit fast enough. I'm missing the euros for this, you know.
You're what? You're wasting euros for this?
I'm missing the Euro 2024, the soccer game.
It's a long game. You'll be all right.
I'm just kidding. Romania played yesterday.
I didn't even know there was a soccer game going on.
Greg, how did you get into Delphi?
This is learning programming, right? Like, it's one of the languages that were just hanging out. It had a GUI instead of just that you could make menus and stuff like that. So
what does all the Delphi programs, what do they start with? What does the function start and end with? What does a Delphi function start and end with if you're such a good programmer?
The functions? Or like the top where the header
a function.
Thing.
What's the first thing you do after the function? What is the beginning and the end of the block of code? How is that denoted
program?
In Delphi? No. How do you define the beginning and the end of a function? You know, in C, you have the curly brackets. What do you have in Delphi? Like, Jack, this is ridiculous, man. I doubt this guy even touched Delphi, you know?
So are you talking about like the semicolon?
There's nothing that makes sense.
All the functions at the end? Or, like the caret, like question mark or whatever for like PHP or, you know, when you start it, to call it.
So let's say you define a function.
Right, you type the word
function,
and then you put the function name. You declare
it. And then what's on the next line?
You begin, you end, you do stuff.
So that's what I was looking for, man. The beginning and the end.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. It just sounds
pretty
basic.
What
that's
is
what
the
I mean.
Beginning,
like,
what is it?
People.
So you don't even know basic stuff, man.
I didn't know that you were asking something. So I was trying to figure out what exactly you're asking.
I doubt you even you actually program. Cause
okay. Well, how about
you would know
we program things. Something in live time.
We got the euro to get back to. We don't want to be spending our time programming here.
Exactly. Happy let's get back to facts, man. Actual proof.
Program.
Actual proof of something.
So
what, Greg, what is your proof that you're the creator of Sub7?
I don't have any proof. I'm going to let it.
Of course you don't. I have
let
notes.
It go.
I have multiple backup CDs that I burnt with multiple stages of the source. I have a hoodie that I used to sell back then in the store. I took pictures of it. I have the source code. I have multiple proofs.
Right, but
man.
I have the source code as well.
You don't
well.
Have anything.
I have multiple copies of it on on backup CDs and stuff that basically I don't even think no longer even work. I don't even have a CD drive anymore.
I was able to pull all of them out.
Yeah, I was able to pull them out too, like 10 years ago it? And show it to people.
Did you show it to anyone right now?
Well, not right now because I'm on a call right now with you guys. And it's not in person.
No, but like come up with the actual proof,
We have the whole source. I have the source, yes. And I posted
You're claiming
it. It's on
that.
My GitHub.
You're not showing it,
It's been on my GitHub for several years.
Where?
On my GitHub.
At this point, you're just bullshitting. Because there's no GitHub. There's no source. Or if there is, it's definitely not the Sub7 source.
Okay.
It's zero proof. It's all talk. I have multiple things that I've put out there. I gave them all to Ill Will and he posted them on his Twitter. There's notes. There's little handwritten notes with ideas in because I worked on this like 4 years. I put a lot of hard work into it. This wasn't just some script to fucking steal Ultima Online credit. Like, really, dude?
So, Greg, you were telling me that you have control of the domain Sub7 Crew.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only actual proof he came forward. And that was never actually owned by the real Mobman. Never. It's not documented anywhere. I never owned any domains back then because I was trying to stay anonymous. Everybody else was buying them. So all he did is he bought an expired
domain.
So
in the credits also,
this is the proof.
There's a
has.
Gmail account as well.
Okay, so
there's no Gmail account in the versions that I released.
So what did Gmail come out in? Like 2004?
Something like that.
So didn't Sub7 in the 90s would not have Gmail didn't exist.
No. No.
So we're talking about later versions at some point.
It's a pretty long con, I'll give you that. It's what, a decade now?
It's been longer
going
than a decade,
to places
right?
and stuff.
How long
there
has
you
it
go.
Been?
It's hilarious. I feel sorry for you, man. Like, your biggest accomplishment is impersonating somebody else. Like, you know,
well,
I feel sorry for you.
I wouldn't think of anything of it as accomplishments, nor even riding a rat back then, right? Like, I don't even tell pretty much anybody in person or any of that stuff.
Oh, is that why you go to all the conferences saying you're mob man? You don't even tell anyone?
I don't, because a lot of people don't even know.
Ill Will
has
pictures of you at DEF CONs, multiple DEF CONs, when you're going around with Mob Man and telling everybody you made Sub7. But now you're saying you don't tell people. Come on, dude. Just come out with it. You know you want to. Come on.
Well, like I said at the beginning, it's tricky because who wants to say that they're the creator of this?
I'm saying it right now. I'm coming out and saying.
All right.
You're the creator.
Like, this guy's unknown.
Be careful around Will then, you know, when he got arrested and stuff and a few other people got in trouble taken down around him.
How is this related? Don't change the subject.
I try not to make any absolute proof that could be used anywhere. So it's fine. I'm happy with saying I'm not because I don't even care.
So you're happy coming out and saying the truth. So are you going to stop going to places and claiming you're Mob Man? That's all we
do. I've been saying I'm Mob Man for the past, I'm trying to think how many years.
You can say you're Mob Man, just not the one that made Sub7. Big difference.
How many years now?
Huge difference.
I'm trying to count.
History needs to be set straight.
97, 95.
And I appreciate you, Jack, for doing this right now.
Wow. 24.
He's still doing the math. Greg, listen. He's saying you can continue using Mob Man. You can have multiple people saying having the same name.
When I'm on Call of Duty, people keep taking it.
Yes. All other Call of Duty users can use it too. That's not a copyrighted name.
That's not acceptable.
But he's asking you to stop claiming that you're the creator of Sub7.
Exactly. Can we agree on that? Come on. You know you want. You've been living a lie.
Well, I don't claim it in person anymore to anybody. I don't even claim it at all. So that's easy to do. We could do that.
if anybody, like, for the listeners out there, right? Like, if you think you can, like, challenge me or anything like that, or if you knew me from back in the day, just send a message. We'll talk it out. I'm not hiding anything. You know, I can show all the stuff that I talked about, you know, the CDs. I still have the hoodie. I can put it in pictures. I can, you know, meet you up if you come over here. I'm still in Windsor. Still in Windsor, Ontario, you know. If you're ever around Detroit, it's right across the river.
What are you? I'm confused if you're asking to fight someone or if you're asking to prove that you're the real mob man.
To see the proof, right? Okay. To see the proof. If anybody wants to challenge me in any way or wants to actually see all this stuff that I'm talking about, like, I didn't think you were going to show up, honestly, because really, what could you have said?
Why wouldn't I show up?
Because you're being outed. Because you're being outed for how much bullshit you've been
spewing. What does it matter? Why would I care if somebody disputes it or not?
That's what this whole thing was about.
For like a decade.
Because they saw through your bullshit.
And then, yeah, it took them a decade to get all the bullshit together. To like call me out of from something from 30 years ago that I don't even care about.
For something you don't care about, you sure as hell spent a lot of time and effort in. This isn't just some fad.
How much time and effort do you think? Do you like monitor my social medias or something?
Well, I mean, personally, I don't like you telling me that you did something that you didn't do. That looks bad for me and my show and my credibility.
Exactly. You've been going around giving interviews as the author of Sub 7. How is that not effort put into it? You've been going to DEF CON conferences. Like, you know, it's a long running con, man.
And the reason why I believed it is because of that damn Rolling Stone article saying that you were.
I said, oh, yeah, well, nobody faults you for this.
Rolling Stone had must have fact checked it. So I think this must be legit.
Well, so that's when the source code was. So I had the source code back then on whatever computer I was using.
You're really going with this, man? Like, really? What source code? Why do you keep going back to it? I thought we agreed on you're not going to claim that no more.
Well, do you want me to explain the story?
Like, what are you still trying to
what
prove?
What happened and how I was able to prove it?
You said Sub 7 source, so I'm not going to let you bullshit right now because that's not the Sub 7 source. That has never left my hands. Until it was released by Ill Will on GitHub. Never. You'll not find a copy of it anywhere in the world, on any website, on any backup, except the ones I have. So, like, as soon as you said Sub 7 source, like, no, dude, stop. But you got to stop.
Okay, but I want to hear how you got the Rolling Stone article. You were about to say something about how all that started.
Right. So we sat down in a room and, you know, I had my laptop, opened it up, pulled up the source code of it, compiled it and showed it around and showed the hash match the ones that you could download from the website and all that. So
was involved in any way back then.
What happened to you during those years? Were you arrested too? Were you
knew right away
or you're moving?
It was all bullshit if listened to you in any way.
Okay.
Our conversation began getting circular and we started talking over each other at that point and so I ended the call. But I think we got a half-assed confession out of Greg, didn't we? Like, he said he'd stop saying he's the author of Sub 7 and we'll let it go. It was hard to hear that, but he did say that. So I think that's the best I'm going to get from him and I'll have to take that. Oh, and I looked up Greg's birthday on his arrest record and it shows October 27th, not October 15th, like he said a moment ago. But honestly, I'm not too upset about this. In fact, I knew this would happen eventually. I grew up in the same culture as these guys, right? On IRC, downloading viruses, pranking people with tools. I remember once I was in a computer class and the teacher had his computer connected to a projector, which was projecting on the front of the class. And I sent a network message to his machine, which made a pop-up show for the whole class. It was epic for a teenager. And one thing I know about this culture is just how much hackers like to mess with the press. Cult of the Dead Cow in particular learned that the press will publish just about anything that a hacker says. If you're in a hacker group and you say, oh, we hacked NASA, the press will just take your word for it and publish it. And so they started creating all these wild claims to see how far the news would just spread just to mess with everyone. And later on, 4chan picked up on this too, trying to get fake news to spread also. So this culture is just big on simply messing with the media. And it's partly just to show how crappy the media is for getting it wrong and how gullible people are. I mean, look at the whole birds aren't real movement, right? Yeah, I'm sure you've heard someone say that, birds aren't real. That whole thing was just created to prove how conspiracy theories and misinformation is so easily spread. So I know the people I talk to, hackers, are known for giving misinformation, which means I have to be allergic to conspiracy theories in order to navigate this effectively and to bring you the most factual podcast I can. And to do that, I have to really know my history and understanding of tech and the scene to be ready for anything coming my way. So I guess I'm saying I'm not surprised that someone at some point pulled one over on me. But man, this was quite a long con, wasn't it? I mean, this is elaborate to have your friends vouch for you and to have all this proof that you were the creator of Sub7. Wow. Like, I'm more impressed than I'm mad at this point. Greg messaged me after that call and wanted another call with me. He wanted to apologize to me if he caused any problems, and I started to record the call.
And it's no disrespect to you or anybody else that I've, you know, if they felt hurt or betrayed or lied to or whatever, you know, it's nothing personal. It's none of that, you know. Like I was telling you, I respect your craft and everything. And it's good that you actually, you know, dug it up. You know, as I was going through all this stuff with you the other way, you know, I'm thinking of all this stuff. I'm like, man, if I actually reflect back and look at like all the shit that the stupid Sub7 story that I done. I mean, I went to Capital One. I went to Facebook. I went to these businesses, like to interview. And on the impression of, oh, this guy wrote Sub7. Let's interview him. Let's fly him up here to Virginia at our headquarters, give him a badge, bring him in, interview him, and do all this stuff with him. You know? So in a nutshell, it's like pretty good social fucking engineering to get all the way to do that. I mean, into like one of the biggest financial institutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
So I think of things like that, right? It's like, yeah. And then using that notoriety where like these kids that are coming out or whoever, right? And they listen, you know, they heed my advice. You know, I tell them, don't screw up your life like I did.
That's a great way to end this whole episode. Don't be like my man.
Not my fake mom.
A big thanks to Ill Will, the real mob man, and Greg for being good sports and taking us on this wild adventure. This episode was created by me, Mr. Packet Loss, Jack Reciter. Our editor is the infinite loop lover, Tristan Ledger. Mixing done by Proximity Sound, and our intro music is by the mysterious Brickmaster Cylinder. Why do server rooms often have raised floors? So that technicians can get under the server rack and get to the root of the problem. This is Darknet Diaries.